Hi, this is Janet Gowan with Love Letters Live, and today's guest is someone I hope you have met before on Love Letters because she talked about listening to your children and her own transgender child. And Jana Barkin, did I say your name?
You
Important.
did.
Okay, good. Would you talk just for a minute to catch us up real briefly about your own child?
Sure. And yeah, thank you so much for having me here. And as you said, I'm Jana, and my pronouns are she, her. And my children are amazing, but my youngest is a person who came into this world as a transgender person. So my son from a
Now that's
very
what's
early.
interesting you that you define him as have you define as having come into this world as a transgender person. Talk about that for a minute, because usually we are used to, I think, most of us, talking about a child coming into this world as defined by what we see genitally.
That's right. So, yes, I didn't know he was trans, but yet I know now that people are born how they're born in so many ways, right? Not just about gender. But yes, when my son was little, he was born with a body that we would label female typically. And so there we went, thinking he was a girl, and we called him a girl, and we raised him, as a girl alongside his older sister. So we had the girls. And from about the age of three, or maybe even a little earlier, he started really gravitating toward clothing and even mannerisms and what we would maybe stereotype as boy toys, really gravitating toward, again, things we would typically label as boy. But
What
I've
did you
learned
think
so
it
much
was?
now. We really put things in boxes, don't we? So it was a journey. It's in my first book. He's always been my son. But over time, he started, well, we called him a tomboy. But, not everybody likes that word. And, it makes me think there's not even a word to call a little person who was arrived as a boy when they behave in non-gender typical ways. Is there even a nice word, right? So tomboy, it fit. And then it just didn't work for him as he got older. In middle school, he started to have a lot of mental and emotional health challenges. And over time, as he understood more about maybe what he needed and what was happening for him, let us know. And we, searched and searched for the help we needed. But that was almost 20 years ago. And there just wasn't a lot of information out there about children who perform life or act in ways that are not typical for gender, right? And even then, we had a lot of assumptions about what that means if someone's not acting in typical expectations for gender.
So you, at one point, I think this is the important part, you decided to trust him and listen.
Oh my gosh, exactly. It has always been my parenting philosophy to follow a child's lead. I was a preschool teacher for many years, and I think that is so important, is to really tune into your child. And yes, we have these ideas of who our children will be, and we even want to foster some ways of being. And that's okay. We are parents. We want to put guidance and boundaries, and that's very important. But also, it's so important to really pay attention to the child and support them in being their true, authentic self, whatever that is.
Whatever
But
that
I
is.
don't think many parents these days still expect to have a transgender person in their lives, even.
It's got to be still very foreign waters to a lot of people, but isn't that just the perfect segue now to your book, which is entitled?
It's called A Grand Love. That is the new book. It's called A Grand Love: Stories for Grandparents of Transgender Grandchildren. It looks like this.
Good for you. I'm glad you have that picture.
And it came out of my work supporting grandparents. I support parents and families. This is a long story to get to this point, right? But as I figured out what I needed and learned what I needed, I became a support group leader and an educator and a parent group or a parent coach to help families with children who or adults who are transgender. And
You came to that on your own and set up shop, so to speak, and people.
I kind of did, yeah. I had had mentors through groups such as Gender Spectrum. And really felt like my area it needed its own support group. And so, with the LGBT center that was in existence up until very recently, I was there supporting and working with families for
What
about
does that
8 years.
mean up until very recently?
Well, the local center called the SPAR Center has closed. But
Why?
I feel like I don't really want to talk about that here. I'd rather focus on what our
Sure.
task
Okay.
is. So that closed, and other organizations have been supporting my work. And so I've been leading a group specifically for grandparents,
So
a
I'm
group.
guessing, and this is my question. I was so touched by this that I was guessing, you can set me straight on this if I'm wrong, that because grandparents are still a generation removed, it is more foreign to them. They're not so used to it. And this is a way of what, reaching out to them and letting them know that this is not scary, you say, right?
Exactly. So, in starting this parents, the grandparents support group, I felt like grandparents are at a different place than even the parents, not only in, like you said, understanding and just awareness about transgender issues and what it means to be transgender, and especially about having a family member, but also, so there's also just a different task at hand. The parents are often much more involved in the person's transition, whereas the grandparents are often maybe not even living nearby, only seeing the person every few months. And so there's a special kind of support, and I think a little harder for grandparents to find like among their peers because there's not a lot of awareness or understanding. And so people to talk about it. So
You
when I
find that
started
grandparents tend to be secretive?
a little bit private and maybe
Private.
secretive because they're worried that their friends won't understand and won't support them, which does turn out to be the case for many in the grandparent groups that I support now. So we have been running grandparent groups now, or I have for about 4 years, 4+ years. And some of them have been there, including my mother, since the very beginning. And the group quickly evolved to be a very tight-knit, caring group of grandparents who really wanted to understand and learn more and find support for themselves. Because when one person does change or go through a transition in a family, the whole family changes and goes through a transition. Example, I might my grandmother or my mother had to then call her grandchild not a granddaughter but a grandson, right? And so the words change. And the things that came out of this group, the words and the emotions and the feelings and the support for each other, the peer-to-peer camaraderie that came through really inspired me. And you know how the pandemic was. We got lots of inspirations. And so I was inspired to write this book, A Grand Love,
Take into
to
account.
bring these stories together,
I was going
that
to ask
were.
you to tell us a couple of the stories, but I was just curious, while you're working with grandparents, is there any attempt or need to work with the children themselves to try to understand the grandparents?
Yeah, I don't work directly with the families because they come to me in a, it's not a therapeutic capacity, it's a support group. And I don't know them at all. And I'm not there for that. I'm if a family wants to work with me in that capacity, I could as a coach and, you know, a mediator, help conversations flow, but no, grandparents are coming and sharing their story. It's really about them and, you know, whatever they report back, we
Can you
just
tell
do
us
our
a couple of
best.
those stories just for a,
I mean, the thing that I start with, the overarching inspiration was when one grandparent said, well, you know, it was about her third meeting, and she said, you know, I just want these LGBTQs, which she was meaning the kids, these LGBTQs to know that we grandparents are a blanket of love across the country. And I just was so moved by that. And I said, well, these quotes have to be somewhere. So I started writing down the quotes and
I'd like to hear some.
just really getting it out there. And then there's also stories from transgender people that really are beautiful and moving as well. And so it's kind of a conversation without the people being in the room together, right? So one grandparent wrote, they were waiting. When I learned my grandchildren identified as transgender, I loved them as much as ever, but I lost my way in knowing how to accommodate this change. I made their being transgender the focus of our interactions. And it's true that she has two transgender grandchildren. Each time I visited, I arrived at their home with a plan of questions to ask or something relevant to them. For example, I looked for positive stories about transgender adults or positive trends in legislation. Many months passed before I realized this was not what they most wanted. They wanted their grandma to just hang out with them, relax, be her natural goofy self, and listen deeply to whatever they wanted to share. I slowly returned to the spirit of play and attentiveness and ease in our connection. They were waiting.
Oh, so you talked about legal changes. If you go back in that little story, what are some of the things that have changed?
Well, I think before we would go to that, I think the impact is, you know, the legal changes are only one little part, and the legal changes, I think the impact of that story is that the grandparents don't need to be involved in all that,
A good
and
point.
that they may not want to just talk about gender all the time. They don't want to answer the questions that are on our burning minds. And that also we should pre be prepared to receive them as that same person inside that they've always been. So when people go through different changes, some of them are legal, which I don't think affect the grandparents quite as much, but it can because sometimes it's a name change. And that can be very emotional, right? So even though it's a legal change, it's a very emotional change for family.
Oh, I didn't realize that that was a legal change. I see.
And gender markers on all your ID documents to match your gender
Oh,
identity.
okay. I
And
understand.
so you could get your driver's license changed. You could get your birth certificate in many states changed, though not all. And that's actually a really big problem that's happening in our country right now is that depending on where you live, you can do that. If you're a transgender person, you can have identity documents that match your birth certificate, your inner gender identity. There are many states that are not allowing that right now, and this is being taken to courts, and it will slowly work its way through. But you know, it really does depend on what state you live in to your health care right now. And it's not just about the access to women's reproductive rights. There's also access to transgender related health care. That's so
Exciting.
the legal mixture, it's a mix right now where medical things are being put into the courts, and really what we need is for doctors and patients to make their own best decisions together, and people who don't know about medical care and what that entails and what that really means and what the impacts are should not be making those decisions. And everyone in our country should have equal access. So right now it really is about where you live. But for grandparents, I think the biggest changes do have to do with things that are like about what a grandparent envisions, not only for the child's future, but for their own future. So like, we vision as parents how it will look when our kids get married, how it will look, and grandparents vision the same, right? And how it will impact them. And it does come back to a lot of that. Grandparents really have a hard time making some of the adjustments that their trans family members so need. And I think it has to do with, like we've said, lack of understanding and visibility. And I hope that this book will help with that. There's a glossary, there's stories, but also the peers, right? So not just for grandparents, this book, but for all the grand generation, which I think anyone my age, anyone your age, anyone older than us, we are the grand generation, and our offspring need us to understand, but also our friends need us to be there, to be supportive if something like this should come up in their families.
And I think so often the role of grandparents, being one, is to
Yes.
be really a strengthening part of life. And,
Yes.
like most people, I think I do love the stories. So if there are any others that you would like to share that are particularly moving or educational for us, would you?
Let's see. It's interesting because I don't want to give away all the goodies, but
Give away one.
I'll read one from a so I read one from a grandparent. Now this one is from a young person talking about his grandfather.
Oh, good.
I am my grandpa's einikel. And that is a Yiddish word. And this is a person who is allowing their name to be said. Not everyone is. So this is by Eli Thiel. Due to generational differences, it sometimes can be particularly hard for grandparents to understand their grandchild's experience with gender. I was lucky enough to have grandparents who made an active effort to understand what I was experiencing by asking me questions and even attending an LGBTQ plus family support group. The approach they took was that although they might never be able to understand why I transitioned, they would support me regardless. Every supportive presence in a trans person's life, especially for trans youth, makes a big difference. Respecting a person's preferred name and pronouns is a great place to start. When I first came out to my grandparents and started transitioning, my grandpa taught me a Yiddish word, einikel, which means grandchild, and has no associated gender. Sharing this with me shows me that he sees me for who I am and that regardless of my gender, he will love me first and foremost as his grandchild. This sums up one of the most important things that a trans kid needs to hear. Your value to me is not contingent upon your gender
Oh,
identity.
I like that. Yes. Your value to me is who you are.
Is you, period, right? And yeah, and it's really moving. That again and again and again. And people say to me often, oh, your child is so lucky to have you, so lucky to have you.
I would agree.
And here's Eli, I am so lucky. Should this be luck? Should the care of one's family be up to luck? I don't think so.
Oh, so how
And
would you phrase that?
so I would say that is and unconditional, that we will love our offspring. What does that mean when we think about loving unconditionally? And yes, there are adjustments to be made. However, if we start with love and we base our moves on choices and words on that love, we can be moved to do great things, as many of your guests have said over time. And that it shouldn't be up to luck. Like, there's a chapter.
How would you phrase that? Like how perfect that they have you, or would you not bother to say?
Well, I guess it is how wonderful. And I guess it's hard to own that, because I, like my husband says in the first book, there's two chapters. One is he's so lucky, and people would say to me all the time, he's so lucky, he's so lucky, he's so lucky. And I would just be like, or I think it's my husband who wrote it, and he would just feel like, well, I am just doing what any parent in my mind should be doing. And so I guess they're lucky, but I think also there's something about it that separates us from it, that puts us in a place that maybe others, what we want to say to others is, why, your grandchild wouldn't be so lucky? Your child isn't, it wouldn't be? Oh, what? What makes me so special? No, actually, I don't feel that I'm born with this special thing that excludes others. Or am I? It's a hard thing to explain.
It really is, because so much of what we get genetically is kind of the luck of the draw.
Sure. And then it's also how we are in the world. And I guess if my child's lucky, that means there's a lot of unlucky kids around. And that really upsets me, because I am not so amazing. I'm not doing something. I mean, okay, yes, I'm wonderful. We all are, but yet I'm just another one who's a good mom, who's doing good moms. And there's a lot of really good momming in the world. And sometimes when people say, well, your kid's lucky, I think, well, would yours be too? Or, people will say, I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do that. That really upsets me.
But
And
that's a clear cry for show me the way, isn't it?
I think you're right. And I think, yeah, I think you're right when people say, oh, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, people have said some pretty supercharged things that I don't even know I want to bring up about what they would do if they had a child like this. And it just makes me really concerned. And I don't think that any child should be lucky to have the love and care that every single child deserves.
Oh, it sounds to me like you are looking hopefully to a time where this isn't even a conversation. It's just normal life.
Oh my gosh, you're so wonderful in like getting to that real point, because I always say that. I say it'll be so nice if one day my work is obsolete
Oh,
and we
yeah.
can
Nobody, but
move
nobody.
on to some other thing, right? But I am also super grateful for the opportunity. I do feel that for whatever reason, I thank my upbringing, I thank my examples that have gone before me of really how to be a parent and show up. I mean, my father, may he rest in peace, he said, I would never turn my back on you.
Yes.
Never.
Well, until we get to that point, people, you have Jana's book to guide you in whatever way you may need, or just satisfy your curiosity if you don't need guidance.
Oh my gosh, so wonderful, so true. Some people are saying, oh, I'm already supportive, I don't need that. Oh, it would be really wonderful, confirmation,
Yes,
and
I would
also
think.
just heartwarming and reminder, right? And then, like you said, it's just, isn't it something curious? We're all so curious. Gender is on the topic of so many, and it's up for vote. Let me tell you, the rights of transgender people to have a life that is worth living is up for vote
Well,
this
there
November.
There was that book, something about sex, with sex, the questions you were afraid to ask. I think your book may address questions you didn't even know to ask.
Yes,
Questions that
and
you didn't
that
know.
when we have such a hot topic, it's so important that we go to people of lived experience to learn from them. So please don't read some old document that talks about how trans people don't need the things they need when there's so many real stories written by trans people, by family members, by grandparents in this book. And this is where we get our information from people who have lived experience and are so gracious and willing to share their stories, just like all the guests you have here. And I so appreciate that your audience are people who want to hear people's stories and want to learn and gosh, raise our hands if we are lifelong learners.
Good point. Okay, and so, just in terms of, well, so many things you said, I need to ask because I am so about the power of love letters and letters, not just for today, but people get them and they stick them in a drawer and they stick them in a book, and generations later, they are found, and whoever finds them, like, other children or other Enoch or anybody at all, it's quite a legacy to leave these letters. If you were to write one right now, who would get it?
If
And
I would write
you
one
get to
right
include yourself.
now,
You could write one to you, of course.
yes. If I were to write one, like you're saying, to live out there in the world, wow.
Write it and mail it to someone.
And mail it to someone. Gosh, I really, probably my stepson's grandkids, so my grandkids,
Oh, nice. Okay, so you have somebody that you can.
or my stepson's kids, so my grandkids. Yeah, I
That'll
think.
go in the that'll go in the fr people don't throw these things away. And my own experience from stories I'm told, people find them generations later and are so relieved that they have this legacy of strength and love behind them.
It's so true, and I think we're kind of out of the habit of writing letters. So it's a really great reminder to write a letter, and
Hope you do it. I hope you do it.
I
And you
know.
mail it, obviously, Stan.
Yeah.
Thank you, honey, for doing this with me. You have so much interesting and lovely and loving to say that it's just always nice to listen to you. Thank
Thank you.
you.
It's always wonderful to be with you. And I just want to let people know that the book is available anywhere you would want it. It's on fun online sources, but you can also ask your local library for it, and then they could order it, and then your whole community could have it.
Wonderful.
And also, I'm happy to send signed copies if anyone wants to be in touch with me on that. We can do that.
You
And
want to give how to be in touch with you, like your
oh,
email or something?
sure. Yeah, my email is, well, maybe we could put it in the show notes. I don't know if
Oh,
you
I
did,
will also.
but
Yes.
it's my name, JANNAM Barkin, BARKIN at gmail.com. You can also find me at my website, which is the name of my first book. He's always been my son.com with no apostrophe in the he's.
Right.
But he's always been my son.com. You can find me there. And I'm on book tour, and I'll be in the Marin area on, if you're in Marin County, on September 14th at Book Passage in Corte Madera. And there's lots of other dates all on my website. I'm also going to be on a New York book tour,
Okay. So
which is my
you're
other
making
home
it easy
base.
for people to find you, which is so nice of you. Yes.
Well, it's so nice that people want to find
Yes,
me.
and just
And yeah, and I'd love to do anything local into your audience, people, if you would like me to come or you want to do a virtual book tour. Oh, and here's the other thing. I would love to do a little mini book club that has to do with the books. So people will be reading the book. And then maybe at the end of September or October, we'll do a virtual book club talk where we'll get on and we'll, run it a little bit more like a book club meeting.
Well, and also, now that you say it, I know we have to say goodbye in a minute, but what a wonderful idea to offer your book to book clubs of all sorts.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I
Yes.
wish you luck in this. And I hope we'll talk about something else soon. Thank
I hope
you.
so too. And thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Bye.